Those are some good songs to start the year, aren't they? Praise the Lord. It's good to sing and lift our voices to the Lord in praise and adoration. There's a psalm that said it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And there's other psalms that remind us to sing and praise Him with our voice. I like singing. I can't sing very well anymore. I've lost too much hearing to be able to know if I'm on or off, so I just make the noise. But it's good for us to do that, to sing and lift our voices in praise and adoration to God. Let's pray before we go any further. Our Father and our God, thank you again for this beautiful morning. And these songs that we've just sung, oh Lord, we really do lift our voices in praise and adoration to you. We're so thankful to you this morning, Father. So thankful. So many things to be thankful for. And so as we have come this morning to worship you, I just pray that your Spirit would lead us, as you already are, would direct us, and in this year that we call the new year, this first Sunday of this new year, Father, will you point us in the direction as a church, as a congregation, as people who love Jesus, point us in the direction for this year that you would have us to go. I'm so thankful, Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. But we are not naive enough to suppose that those may stay the same as they always have been. So I pray for the church all over America, North America, and really the world. But I pray especially for our nation, Father, direct the church, revive the church, use the church for your glory. And may this year be a year of great things through you. It was Jesus himself who said, greater things than these you shall do. And so by your power and by your Spirit, O God, use your church for greater things this year. We do lift up the names on the prayer list, Father. There are lots of them, and there's more that could be. We do ask that you would intervene in every circumstance. Continued healing and surgeries, continued strength and cancer treatments and cancer journeys, continued strength and healing in COVID-19, continued strength in marriages and hurts of all kinds. Father, we pray for your will to be done in every situation. And Lord, knowing that the second advent of Jesus could be right around the corner, the rapture could be at any moment, the second advent could be coming right around the corner, we pray for the salvation of our communities and our nation. We pray for salvation of souls all over the world. And this year, Lord, I pray that you would infuse in us, your people, your Spirit, soul, that we will be available to be used by your Spirit in everyday living, in everyday occurrences. When we encounter people, may your Spirit guide us to be your hands and feet, Lord Jesus, and tell those that may be struggling with life, that may be lost, tell them the good news of Jesus. Tell them the love of God. Tell them how Christ has died on the cross for our sin, and all of that can be dealt with. We just come to him in repentant faith. Use your church this year, Father, I pray. I would even pray that you use us like perhaps never before. Use us in mighty ways for your glory. Guide us as we look at this scripture this morning, Lord. and help our hearts and ears and minds to be attentive to what your Spirit has to say through the words of the printed page we call the Bible. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be. I'd invite you to turn there. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And as I mentioned to the earlier service, I try to do this almost every year on the first Sunday of the month. I try to encourage you, if you've never read through the Bible in its entirety, I would encourage you to challenge yourself with that this day and this year. Read the whole thing. We read other books from cover to cover, and I want to challenge and encourage you, if you've never done it, read the Bible from cover to cover this year. It only takes a few pages, and I think that you will find in reading through the Word of God, especially if you ask the Lord's direction and help, I think you will find that He'll speak to you in a brand new way. And so I want to encourage you this first Sunday of the year to read your Bible from cover to cover if you never have, and if you have, just keep reading it and allowing the Lord to speak to you. Matthew 2 is a bit of a bridge between the first advent and what we've been talking about regarding the second advent and the rapture. And so I use Matthew 2 today to it's kind of along with the first advent story, but yet it's also a bridge to what I'll be talking about next week and this whole idea of the rapture of the church and the second advent. And so I want to read this and then I'll elaborate a little bit more. Matthew chapter 2, first verse. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, that's the scribes to Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. That's the wise men. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I think we all know the story, do we not? We know the story. And what I want to do this morning, more than talk about the story, is talk about the characteristics of the people in the story. And I want to do that to ask us Who are we really like? Three sets of folks, three sets of characteristics. And I want us to think deeply and intently, who can I relate to best? The first character and his characteristics is Herod. The second set of characters and their characteristics are the chief priests and the scribes. And the third are the wise men, the magi, kings, whatever your Bible says, whatever they're called. And so I'm going to tell us just a little bit about each and challenge us in our thinking, who am I really like? First one is Herod. I think we know enough about Herod to know that he rebuilt a lot of the Jewish temple and made it elegant and wonderful and beautiful. We probably know enough about Herod to know that he reigned. This is Herod the Great, by the way. He reigned in Jerusalem for 32 years. I just discovered this, I think, just recently, and maybe I knew it before and forgot, but this Herod the Great was actually, his father was a descendant of Esau. That makes him an Edomite. If you've read through the Old Testament, you know about Esau, you know about the Edomites. Herod was basically of the family of Abraham. The other direction, Jacob and Esau, but that's who he was. He was a Roman citizen, and for many years he was in very good graces with Julius Caesar and people like Mark Antony and others. I discovered in the last few days and looking a little bit more about Herod, he was married probably at least 8 times. And in the second marriage, what the commentary would suggest, he loved this woman but had her murdered because, well, somebody told him some things about her that he didn't like. That's the kind of a person he was. And not only did he have her murdered, he had her 2 sons murdered and much more of her family. He murdered the children of he had others murdered the children of Bethlehem when you read through the rest of that story too. He, in fact, claimed to be king of the Jews. I tell you all of this for a reason, and I'll get to that in a minute. But let me tell you a little bit about the chief priests and their characteristics also. They were teachers of the law. They knew the Mosaic law. They had the scriptures. They were, I suppose you would say of them at their time, they were the religious authority. Generally speaking, they were in good graces with Herod. Herod did some things, and they knew if they were in good grace with him, that would keep the peace. And this group of people, the Pharisees, wanted people to know how religious they were. They wanted people to know they were the religious elite. Then there were the Magi, the wise men. We're not even sure where they're from. They're from the east someplace. Could be as close as Babylon. Could be as far away as India. Could be more from the southeast. I've read all kinds of things about where they might have come from. We know that they're specialists in astronomy and stargazing. More than likely, they were Gentiles with some interest in the King of the Jews. Whether they developed that interest from somebody in the past or whether this was a special revelation by God, there's plenty of speculation about that too. But they obviously had a special interest in this birth of the King of the Jews. But one thing we know about them for sure, they traveled far, they traveled long for one reason, to worship the King of the Jews. Three groups, three characteristics, three attitudes towards Christ. Let me break it down a little further. Herod was a liar. He was a tyrant. He wanted to extinguish any and all forms of competition to the throne, had people murdered, including his own wife. And yet, interestingly enough, we just saw from the words of Matthew 2, he said to the wise men, we know the reason, but this is what he said nonetheless. When you have found this king, come and tell me so I can worship him too. In a word, When you see the behaviors, you see the words. In a word to describe Herod, I come up with poser, offering lip service only. I want to worship him too, he said to the wise men. Find out where he's at. Find out where he lives so I can come and worship him too. It was purely lip service. He was a fake. 3 characteristics of people. And remember what I said to begin with. I want us to identify. Are we like any of them? Today there are people that are like Herod. They say with their mouth, I want to worship him. Or they say with their mouth, I believe in God. But their heart is nowhere near worshiping the King of Kings. This is an entire group of people. When it comes to really desiring to know him, to surrender to him, to worship the Christ, Herod was purely offering up lip service. There's a category of people that are that way today. To better themselves, to advance their agenda, to protect themselves, to look good to the preacher or the priest. I don't know why, but there's a category of people like that today. Lip service. Then we have the second group of people. We call them the chief priests and the scribes. They should have been. We know enough about them. This should have been the group of people with the most interest in the birth of the King of the Jews. Amen? They should have been the ones that know about this. They should have been the most interested. After all, according to the scriptures, they were longing for the Messiah. The Jewish people were longing for the King of Kings to come. These are the ones that should have been the most excited. And even the thought whether Herod had mentioned to them why the Magi came or not, at the very thought, we've already read, all of Jerusalem was troubled. They did not come in sneaking in. They knew about the kings, the Magi, the wise men. All of Jerusalem knew that. Herod had conversation with them. The Bible says Herod was troubled. All of Jerusalem was troubled. The Pharisees and the scribes had to have had some understanding about the announcement of this king. They should have been the ones most excited about that. They're the ones that studied the scripture. They're the ones that knew about the Old Testament Bible. This is the group that Herod came to for answers. Where is this king going to be born? But in a word, the characteristics of the scribes and the Pharisees at that point, and you can find this throughout the theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through the whole life of Jesus, they were pretenders. They were pretending to be religious, pretending to have the best relationship with God, pretending to be the one that everybody should look to for the answers, pretending to be holy. And today, people fall into that category too. Remember where the scripture said, man looks at the outward appearance, how we look, and God looks at the heart. You remember that? God knows the heart of this category of people. Whether we call them scribes and Pharisees 2,000 years ago, or we call them a church attendance or something else today, God knows the heart. They're religious. They're going through some kind of religious motions, perhaps considered by others to be spiritually in the know. And yet, we see from the scribes and Pharisees on that day, when it comes to hearing about the possibility of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the long-expected and waited-for Messiah, you've got yawning, indifference. It blows my mind to think, when I read that, Herod was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him, it blows my mind to think that the scribes and Pharisees could not have known anything about the conversation, especially when he invited them in and asked him, where is the king going to be born? It blows my mind to think that this group of religious leaders was not racing to Bethlehem on the fastest donkey they could find out if he was really born there or not. Does that not blow your mind? But what do we get from the scribes and Pharisees? Indifference and yawning. When you look through the Gospels and see Jesus' conversation with the scribes and Pharisees, and you see them 30 years later stirring up the crowd, yelling, crucify him. You see pretenders pretending to be interested. You say, Jim, maybe they didn't even know him at the birth. Maybe Herod didn't tell him why he was asking. Maybe that's why they didn't race down to Bethlehem and find. Maybe you're right. But they knew the man. Remember when Pilate brought Jesus out on display? You remember the stories as well as I do. Stood there, ready for crucifixion, had been bludgeoned nearly to death. You remember what he said? Behold, the man. So we can argue all day long, they didn't know he was born, but they knew the man. They knew who he was. They were pretenders. Then there's the wise men. This group of people was compelled to find and worship this king. They were driven. Nothing else in their lives mattered at that point. We don't know how many there were. We don't know how far they came. But we can conclude from Scripture, they came for a long time. They were compelled. I need to find this King of Kings. I need to worship him. They were not going to be hindered in their search. They were not going to be detained in their worship. This is a group of people, they didn't have all the religious answers. Probably didn't even know the ways of God. But there was one thing they did know. They were determined and they were undeterred to find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to worship him. So I use this story to bridge the gap between the Advent we just celebrated, and the conversation we've been having about the second coming of Christ and the rapture. And as we approach the rapture and the second advent of Jesus, I ask us today, which category of people are we most like? Are we just giving lip service to look good in front of somebody? Are we like the scribes and Pharisees that are just going through the religious motions, hoping everybody will think, well, they're the religious ones. They got it all figured out. But when it comes to commitment, surrender, denying yourself to follow Jesus, they were pretenders, not interested. There's groups of people like both. I said this last week to you that were in the second service. And I'll mention again. As we read Scripture, we conclude, and I'll talk a little bit about this in the future at some point, there's going to be a rapture of the church. Okay, you still with me? I see Scripture this way. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be the second coming. Jesus establishes his kingdom. That rapture is going to happen like that. He's going to call his church, the alive church, those that have passed. And if we are just offering lip service, or if we are just pretending to be Christ followers like these first two groups of people, we're going to miss the flight. We're going to miss it. That's not Jim's words, that's what the Word of God says. Unless you are born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you're never even going to see the kingdom of God, much less enter it. If we're just offering lip service saying, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I want to worship him, and our life is something completely different, I'm not saying you have to be a murderer, but it's complete, like Herod was, but completely different, we're going to miss the flight. And if we are like the scribes and Pharisees, just going through some religious motions, maybe an hour or two a week to make it look good for the preacher or something. If we're just pretending our way through, we're going to miss the flight. There's an urgency today, brothers and sisters, I believe. An urgency, at least there should be, in being ready for the flight. The signs are all there. We've talked about the second coming, and there's a rapture in there, but the signs are there. And there should be an urgency. Am I ready for the flight? There should be an urgency, so much so in the people of God, that we are living for him daily and telling others at the same time we're living for him daily, don't miss the flight. Then there's that third category. And I would ask us, as we think about the third category, the wise men, are we seeking him with every fiber of our being? That's what they were doing. I don't know how far they traveled. I don't know how long, but it was a long time and it was a long ways. They were determined. They were compelled. And nothing else mattered until they found him. As Charles mentioned earlier service, and I mentioned it also, when they got there, did you see what happened? Well, here you go. Here's your Christmas present. I'm on my way. They fell down and worshiped him. I don't think they could help it. When you come into the presence of the living God, I've read about revivals and I pray daily for a revival in the church in America. It has happened in America before, the Great Awakenings. You can read all about it. When people come into the presence of the living God, something happens. They fell down and worshiped him. I don't think they could help it. You get that close to the living God and your strength, it just goes away. You just fall prostrate and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Or maybe you cry out, "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned." But that's what happens when we come into the presence of the living God. And that's what happened with them. That's the category we need to be in. Those that passionately look for Jesus, want to find him, want to worship him, want to claim him as Lord. That's the only ones that's going to be ready for the flight. And that flight could happen any second. It might be 500 years, I get it. But it could happen at any second when we look at the conditions all around us. I will point to more conditions next week. This is the bridge for next week. But that's the category we need to be in. Surrendered completely to this King of Kings. Those first two categories, they're not going to get it done. Not when the trumpet of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise, 1 Thessalonians 4. Those first two categories ain't going to get it done. Only if I have surrendered everything and given him my best. And so I ask us this morning, are we seeking Jesus with every fiber of our being? We put great amounts of energy into making a living or getting an education or building up our enterprise or doing this or doing that. We put great amounts of energy into all of that, and none of that matters when the trumpet of God sounds. Only matters, what have I done with Jesus? At the end of the day and at the end of life, none of my stuff, accolades, possessions, titles, none of it matters. Only what I have done with this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have I repented of my sin, claimed him as Lord, and said in my mind, in my heart, I will deny myself, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's all that will matter on that day. And so I challenge us with this to close. Are we like the wise men, seeking him with everything we've got? Are we willing to follow him with every ounce of ambition we can muster up? Not just for an hour on Sunday, every day, because I've denied myself to follow Jesus. And then let me take it one step further for you to ponder. Are we willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ? It could get challenging in the United States of America for Christians in the very near future. I'm not saying that we're going to be burned at the stake anytime soon, but it could get challenging for people that claim that will stand up and claim the name of Jesus and walk with Jesus and deny the world. It could get challenging very soon in America. Our brothers and sisters around the globe are dying for the name of Jesus right now. And those kind of times could happen in the United States of America. There will be a separation at that time. And if we are giving lip service to the King of Kings, if we are pretending to be a follower of the King of Kings, there will be a separation. There will be a separating. This is a brand new Sunday and a brand new year. And I know that a lot of people talk about resolutions at the first part of the year. May I encourage us to resolve to be as determined as the wise men, to seek and to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to give him our best. They brought gold and they brought frankincense and they brought myrrh. There's entire sermons about all that stuff. They brought him the best. They were undeterred to find him. They needed to. They were compelled to. They were determined to. I need to worship Jesus. And may I challenge us, if we have no other resolutions, resolve to be like these wise men. Seeking him, trusting him, willing to follow him no matter the cost. May I encourage us to resolve to that.
Hope he does lead you all the way this year. A beautiful year to start off. It's what I loved about the wise men. Before the gifts were given, before they even worshiped, the scripture tells us they bowed down. The Greek word for bow down means literally to fall prostrate before his holiness. And I pray that that will be your goal. Good place to start. I recommend Psalm 148, 49, and 50, those last three. Just read those. Those words need to come out of our mouth every day to praise and worship his mightiness. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your word tells us, you are great, you are mighty, you are holy, you are loving. You are our Father, you are our King, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through your Holy Spirit, our guide, our advocate, our paraclete. Father, you are mighty in many ways. May we always sing your praises. And maybe, Father, to give account to come closer to you and to take care of those little things, even in our Facebook posts with the lowercase g. I saw one this morning, Father. They referred to you as the big daddy upstairs in the big house. Father, I pray we're long beyond that, far in our reverence and our holiness and approaching you with our sinfulness, that we will go to our knees, that we will fall prostrate before you and just bask in your presence as our Father who loves us so dearly, who paid such a hefty price. You initiated, you paid, you pulled all of these things together because of your great love for us. Help us not to denigrate that holiness and that value that you have placed upon our lives through sending your Son, Jesus. Help us to go forward into our ministry this week, proclaiming these wonderful attributes that you are holy, righteous, loving, kind, and gracious. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.